Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
We're going to be talking about mountains. We're in a series called All Terrain. Last week we were in the sand with Pastor Nicole. How many of y'all enjoyed that sermon? Phenomenal message about being in the sand. Next week, we are all terrain, on site, in the mud, being stuck in the rut, talking about how to get out of the rut. But this weekend, we're talking about the mountain. In mountains, it seems like all terrain that you've been in, where there's a mountain here, there's a mountain there, there's a valley in the middle. And sometimes you must be careful by what you say and how you act in the valley of life. In other words, you go through trials, you go through difficulties. We're not saying that mountains don't happen to faith people. We're just saying that we can move mountains because we speak words out of our mouth. If you remember in Genesis 1, God stood out on dark and he saw nothing. And he said, let there be what?
Light.
You guys are so smart. Let there be light. He saw darkness, but he said light. Then he goes on and he creates the whole world as we know it. And he creates the universe and he creates space and outer space and the cosmos. And then he creates mountains. From words. So if mountains created words, then mountains can move words. Literal mountains? Yeah, I got a story in a minute that actually moved a literal mountain. But just stick with me a minute and let's just talk about thinking positive and speaking positive. Now, I believe in positive thinking because I don't think you can speak positive if you don't think positive. But I do believe that there's a missing ingredient in thinking positive, and that is speaking positive. Words of affirmation about you. You're blessed and highly favored. Something good is going to happen to you. Good breaks, good opportunities come into your life. And you might be saying, well, I don't believe in that. Name it, claim it, call it and haul it, tote it and quote it. You know what? That stuff just doesn't work for me. I'm just always down and always in the mud. And it just seems like there's always a problem in my life. And it just doesn't work for me. It's working for you. You're having exactly what you say. There's always more money than money. And my kids are crazy. It takes my wife an hour and a half to make minute rice. I can't stand it. Well, you got to be careful what you say in the valley because you'll never get to the mountaintop of life if you're always cursing the mountain. But always remember that your mountain will speak back to you. You got to make sure that you have the last word in the mountain. God created the earth and mountains with words, and we move them or climb them by what we say. There was a 25-year-old pilot. You may have heard of this guy. His name is Charles Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh of the Spirit of St. Louis Airplane. He decides that he's going to leave Roosevelt Field in New York City, and he's going to make the journey 3,600 miles across the pond, and he's going to land in Paris, France at the Le Bourget Airport. It's a single-engine airplane and a single seat, which means he was in there all by himself except for negative thoughts over this 30-hour flight. How many of y'all think after 30 hours being awake alone in an airplane, you can get a little cray cray? How many like me and think that he was cray cray to begin with to do that right there? The guy changed history as we know it. He was the first person in the world to ever wake up in New York and the next day wake up in Paris, France. But if you read the biography of his life or you watch any movies about it, here's what he kept doing. When he was flying over the treacherous terrain of different places in America, heading over before he started crossing the ocean, he was flying low and slow. Some of his navigation points, he would look just to verify, called dead reckoning, to see where he was at. So he'd fly low and slow. And people, you know, in May of 1930, when he was doing this, they're looking up and they're yelling at him. He can't quite hear them, but he's yelling back, knowing what they want. He goes, I'm going to Paris, France. I'm going to Paris, France. I'm going to Paris. He kept saying where he was going. Oftentimes in life, we end up where we are because we don't know where we're going. We got a hat with, you know, two bills on it. It says, I'm their leader. Which way did they go? And so we don't know where we're going, so we never set any records, we never change anything. But one of the significance of his story is that he began to say what he wanted to have happen in his life. God has plans for you, he has dreams for you, and sometimes there's been some mountains you say, because of this, I can't get that. Now your mountain will not move until you move your mouth. David, he had a mountain in 1 Samuel 17, his name was Goliath, right? And his mountain was talking back. Maybe yours is talking back today. You're not going to make it. You're not going to live out your days. The business is not going to start. now that they stole all your clients. Well, you had this opportunity, but not that opportunity. Your mountains talk back. Anybody ever had a mountain talk back to you? And his mountain kept saying, who are you? Look at you, you little boy. He's just a little, you know, 17-year-old boy up against a giant. But he started talking back to the mountain. And he said, today is the day I will feed your flesh, your uncircumcised flesh, to the fowl of the air. He's speaking to the mountain right now. David said something. The enemy said something. David said something. Goliath said something. David said something. Goliath said something. And then he received that last word, sunk into Goliath's head. He fell down, and Goliath didn't say another thing. At some point, you got to make sure that you have the last word. And if you're in a marriage, you know how important that is. You got to have the last word. So you have to start, if the mountain is speaking to you and you just give up, the mountain continues to grow. In fact, sometimes I have made mountains out of molehills with my words. I've been driving down the road alone. I've been in an airplane. I'm a pilot. I'm flying down the road and hear weird sounds. What is that sound? You're in the clouds, it's raining, and what is that? And then my body's like, I don't know what that is, but that doesn't sound good. And I don't think I ever heard that before. And we're in the clouds, and it is raining, and it is nasty. What's going on? And I have to talk to myself, and I go, David, this plane does not know it is in the rain right now. You're the only one that knows that it's in the rain. The plane is going to fly the same. And so sometimes I have to talk back to myself and go, listen, I am going by my instruments. Are we upside down right now? We're over the ocean, and it is dark. And it's dark. No, I go and trust the instruments. What does the instrument say? Because my five physical senses gets vertigo and gets all cloudy and gets upside down. That's how Kennedy died. You don't go by what you feel, you go by what the instruments say. And God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken for breath. He said that I would lead you in the way that you should go. He said that you'd be blessed coming in, that you'd be blessed going out. He said that everything your hand touches would turn to good. He said that your health would speed forth speedily. He said that the memory of the righteous is blessed. He said that God has plans for you, and they're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an assigned destination. Now, there are obstacles in the way. Our whole trail is littered with problems, and the terrain is treacherous, but we have to watch what we say in the valley, or we never get out of the valley. The Bible said this. He said, you're snared by the words of your mouth. You eat good by the fruit of your lips. Have you ever said stuff and got yourself in trouble? You ever got into a fight with wrong words? Have you ever realized that you couldn't whoop that person, and all of a sudden you turned it charm on and you talked yourself out of the trouble? Come on, raise your hand right now. I was in the sushi restaurant one time in Sunset Hills, and these guys were drunk, apparently, and there was about four or five of them, and they were cussing, they were going crazy, and it was just out of control. And so I just got tired of it. Nobody was dealing with something, and I went over there and I said, here's how this is going to roll. And then they got up. And thank God I eat there all the time. It's a very expensive place. It's crazy what they want for the sushi. And so the man who owns the sushi place didn't want to lose me as a client. Like as in bury me. So he came over here. He said, he mean nothing wrong by what he say. Not problem. You calm down. No cuss in my restaurant. Pastor, you sit down right here. That's a problem. You gonna sit right there. And I said, hold me back. But I realized that I had wrote a check I couldn't cash. Because I was cray cray. Anybody ever... Over here, you all seem to be honest. Anybody over here ever says something, and then all of a sudden you realize what you said, and you need to take back what you said, and then somebody said, what'd you say? And you said, well, that's not really what I said. What I said was. You can't be the hero of every story when you're preaching. I just sit back down with Nicole and say, I'm glad he held me back. I was sushi drunk, I guess. I don't know. Isaiah 41:15. Behold, I have made you a new sharp threshing sledge with double edges. You will thresh the mountains and pulverize them. When I read the scripture a while back, a couple years ago, I just saw it like these words are coming out. We have a set of teeth. How many of y'all got your whole set? You got your upper plate and your lower plate. Raise your hand. Most of y'all. And I saw some of you out there. You know, we know that the toothbrush was invented in Arkansas, and we know that because if it was invented anywhere else, it would be called the teeth brush, but it's just the toothbrush. Well, you ain't from Arkansas. Why are you booing me, are you? I guess you got family in Arkansas, I guess. Huh? But this sharp threshing instrument that we have, the Bible says that it will thresh the mountains and that it will literally pulverize it. Now, I have a friend in California, a lot of them. And one has a church that butts up to a mountain. Little church, about 250, 300 people. He kept saying for 7 years, God, I thank you, Lord, that we have a bigger building. We have a building that seats 1,500 people. We got a parking lot. And the people would, they'd be like, you can't do that. We got a mountain there. This land, it doesn't work here. One guy's like, you know, I've been to this church my whole life, and that mountain's always been there. In fact, I was at this church before you got here, preacher. That mountain's not going to move. You're just crazy. And he kept saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it. And he started speaking to the mountain. He didn't think to the mountain. He spoke to the mountain. He preached about the mountain. Someday we're going to have a 1,500-seat church, and we're going to have a parking lot, and that mountain's going to move. 7 years later, somebody comes to the church on a Monday. And the secretary said, hey, there's two guys in a suit want to see you. They meet with the pastor, and they said, you know, we have the big Caterpillar company, you know, up the road, And we were just wondering, we've got this new machine, and it does this threshing instruments on the front of these big things. And we want to tear down a mountain, and we wanted to do it really close because we know there's going to be a lot of modifications and a lot of manufacturing on this, and so we didn't want to go anywhere else. Now, we know that we are not asking you to do this for free. We will pay you to take that mountain and begin to experiment here. We know that it's going to cause a lot of dust and a lot of chaos, but hear us out, Pastor. Just do not shut us down here. If we could just start bringing out this big machinery, that he said, now watch him be smart. I don't know, that's going to tear up our parking lot. Come on, somebody ought to be smart about this. Aren't you glad for smart preachers? You know, that's going to live big old caves and cavernous caves in our parking lot, and the dust is probably going to come in through our ventilation system. It's going to get in our piano and our keyboards and all of our equipment. It'll probably ruin everything. They said, we will pave the parking lot. We will buy you new equipment. He goes, well, in that case, I guess I will. Come on, somebody ought to get excited today. You can pulverize your mountain with your words. So stop saying how big the mountain is and telling God how big the mountain is, and start telling the mountain how big your God is, and allow God to begin to speak through you and say, I decree and declare that my best days and blessed days are happening to me in the name of Jesus. And then you got to act happy. Even if you don't feel happy. You know how to do that. You were in a fight with your husband and wife on the way in here, and then you saw the greeters, and you're like, ah, praise the Lord. Everybody shout, act happy. Now, threshing instruments. Matthew 17, 20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, because they were concerned, I don't have enough faith for this. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say, you will say, you will say. Remember, your mountain won't move until your mouth moves. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you, and nothing will be impossible to you, and no thing will be impossible to you. It's not based on your education. It's not based on where you grew up. Not based on who you know. It's based on God saying, "You, if you just have the mustard seed faith, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and move to another place." Like the preacher did. The mountain moved, and they began to shove all the excess rock down, and they made a big parking lot, and they built them a 1,500-seat auditorium, and there's a parking lot there today, and they got all new equipment. It moved. It wasn't based on, oh, he must have been a really good guy. It wasn't, man, he was at the right place. He was at the wrong place, but he changed the location and the terrain of the land by what he's saying. Your life right now doesn't have to be depressed. It can be refreshed, but you have to stop and think, what do I want? Have clarity of speech. Watch these words. They sound the same, but different picture. The dog bit Johnny. Johnny bit the dog. Picture it. The dog bit Johnny. Now Johnny bit the dog. You got to be careful what you say. The Bible said, out of one side of your mouth, you say, I'm blessed, highly favored, God sees, God meets all of my needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you go to the gas station, man, gas sure is high. Bread sure is high. Cost of living sure is expensive. Not as expensive as the cost of dying. So just quit griping and keep on saying, I'll never lack. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. By his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Oh God, what's going to happen? I tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen to you is what you say is going to happen to you. You are the cultural architect of your world. You frame your world by your words, or you're framed by your words. I was molested. I was abused. I was left. Those are things you went through. But did you go through? You got to keep walking by faith and not by sight. And you decree and declare out of your mouth. I'm telling you what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I have clarity of thought. Now check this out. Maybe you're not a Christ follower. Maybe a lot of people come here and they don't even believe in God. You don't have any religious background? We have some atheists that come. They say they don't believe in God. But yet they cut their finger and go, God, I'll be glad when that heals. But right now, take out the religious foggles and goggles and just, okay, let's just talk about people that don't even necessarily, they're not serving God, but they have what they say. We were at Mark and Roma Downey's house in Malibu. They have like a little theater in their house, and we were watching a movie that they were making and talking about it. And then they brought in some sandwiches, and we were hanging out, and we shut the movie down, and we were just talking. And so Mark began to tell the story about his friend, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Anybody ever heard of that guy? Little actor, kind of a big actor. I'll be back. Remember that? I'll be back. Maria Shriver is probably still scared he's coming back. But anyway. No, I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. And Mark tells a story like this. He's like, you know, David, it's kind of interesting. When Arnold was living in Austria, he was just a little skinny boy. He would read a book on Hercules, and so he loved it. And he would pretend that he was Hercules. He was just a skinny little boy, and he told his dad that he was going to go to America, and he was going to own a gym, and he was going to win bodybuilding competitions, and he was going to get into politics, and he was going to make $1 billion. And his dad said, Mark, you're crazy. But he just kept saying that. And then he came to America, and he won Mr. Olympia 7 times. And he's made $1.6 billion in the movie industry. And he went on to be the governor of California. It's important, isn't it, what you say? I'm like, yes, it is. It is so important what you say. Because what you say will come back and haunt you. In fact, we were talking that day about you're fired like Donald Trump. Mark was doing the Survivor show, and he was over there, and he's like, I was away from my, we were another time at their house, he goes, I was away from my family so much, I just couldn't stand it, so the Holy Spirit, I was praying the Holy Spirit, and he gave me an idea that I could go to America, and I had the concept for The Apprentice, and so I called Donald Trump's office, I couldn't believe it, he got on the phone, and then I got over there, he said, you come right now, and so I did it, and I told Donald the story, and what I wanted to do, and he said, go out and talk to my secretary, she'll get you with my agent, and so I called the agent, up, and he said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Donald's not doing it, so he said, then on the way, the Holy Spirit just led me, so I went to the door and I said, see you, Don. He said, what did my agent say? And he said, it's the dumbest thing he's ever heard and you're not doing it. He said, I knew by the Holy Ghost that he would be aggravated with that. So Donald came out and said, I want to talk to him right now. So I got him on the phone and I called him up and he said, hey, listen here, you're fired. So after that, every show, I make him eat it by saying, you're fired. Is that awesome? Come on, somebody ought to be careful what you say, because what you say will come back and haunt you, or what you say will bring your life. Your best days, I prophesy, are out ahead of you. Your favorite days are out ahead of you. If God be for you, who and what can be? Somebody ought to help me today. Be against you. You start talking to that mountain of debt, that mountain of lack, that mountain of disease, that mountain of depression, and you say, you've got to move, and the mountain will talk back, and you just keep going to Faith Church and keep speaking the word, and eventually he'll go, screw it, I got to go to some other person because they are too set in their ways. Some of y'all need to tell the devil, you're fired. Shout hallelujah. You have what you say. You eat good by the fruit of your lips. What is it that you want in life? The Wright brothers wanted to fly. Winston Churchill wanted to free Europe. Martin Luther King wanted racial equality. What do you want? I wanted to have a great church. If I was going to create a sermon, I thought, why create a sermon and preach it one time? I'll preach it on Saturday night and practice up real good, and then I'll preach it at 9 o'clock. Then I'll go up there and preach at 9:45. Then I'll come here at 10:45, and I'll go back there at 11:45, and then I'll go to Florida and have a church down there. Why not share this good news with everybody? That's what I wanted to do with my life, and I sent out those words to my life, and I started saying, we're on television. I want to be on television so people can get helped and delivered, and I don't want to ask for any money. I want to actually be able to give the DVD. When all the other preachers ask for money for a DVD, I want to give the DVD away. And 10 years later, we are on ABC, CBS, NBC, the number one rated in South Florida, and God is delivering people through the power of a word, not on my education. Somebody ought to shout amen. Not on my ability, but I began to speak to the mountain and said, your daddy wasn't educated, and you weren't educated, and you were raised in a travel trailer, and you never graduated high school, and you never went to seminary, and the Baptists won't have you, and the Assemblies of God won't have you, and the Catholics won't have you, and the Methodists won't have you. And I said, yeah, but who's backing me is the greater one, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And somebody's going to want to pick up what I'll be putting down. So I'm going to keep on preaching, and I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody ought to help me today. What do you want? Somebody shout, I know what I want. And if you're married to him, look at him and say, it's you. And if you're not married to him, but you'd like to be married to him, look at him and say, it's you. Yeah. You have not because you ask not. James 3:3. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship heads with a skilled captain, sets the course in the strongest of wind. A word out of your mouth may seem to no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrong placed word out of your mouth can do that. By your speech, everybody shout, by my speech.
By my speech.
We can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud in a reputation. We'll talk about that next week. Send the whole world in smoke. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame the tongue. It can never be done. The tongue runs wild. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. In the same tongue, we curse the very men and women that were made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. You have to watch what you say. How do I change what I say? You got to change what you hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the will of God. So if you see me in a movie, and we go to a movie, and we sit down in a movie, and I'm watching a movie, and then I can see within 10 minutes of this movie that what's going to happen here is these two people are going to go through a traumatic, horrible death experience, and she's going to die of cancer, and she's going to go through chemo and radiation. I will get my family up, and we will walk out, because I don't want that in them. Oh, that's horrible. People die of cancer. Yeah, people die of cancer. But one out of every four people right there on that front row, the statistics say they have cancer, that they're going to die of cancer. But I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, with long life, he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. My health will spring forth speedily. Now, I believe in chemotherapy, and I believe in word therapy. I'm for both of them. So, I just won't watch it. Now, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just telling, but I like to go there and cry about that. I've watched a lot of people have sad sack personalities and cry through movies and die. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church today. I'm not telling you what. I'm telling you what the Bible said. He said, take heed what you hear. In other words, watch out what you be hearing. Because what you hear builds faith. So, like Al Wyman, he's a friend of mine here. Tell me, I won't watch him go up and say, are you having trouble sleeping at night? Are you irritable? Do you feel like that perhaps that there's a rumbling in your stomach right now? Sometimes does your vision blur? Do you wake up with bad breath? You may be dying of chemo side effects before long because you have cancer. I'll be back in a minute to tell you more. I'm like, no, you won't. I don't want to hear no more of that. Ain't nobody got time for that. The Bible said, take heed what you hear. Now, I'm not saying that if you just say you don't have it, say you don't have it. No. I'm not saying, don't say you don't have it. Just say you're not going to keep it. I had it, but I lost it. You can just say, I'm done with that. The more the words you hear, it gets in your heart, and the more that's in your heart, it's coming out your mouth. I texted a friend of mine last night, Zach. He's over here. And I said, hey, Zach, how you doing? And then he showed me the salon they're building. And he showed me the tanning salon they're building. And he showed me the foot rubbing machine. What do you call that when you get your pedicure? What do you call it? Pedicure? Manicure? And I thought, look at that guy go. He was texting me back and forth because that's what was on his mind. Because that's where he was at. That's what he was building. You can be with somebody 5 minutes and find out what they're thinking about. I just don't know whether the world's going to happen. You know what? You know, what if they find out that Hillary did delete all those emails? You know what I mean? What are we going to do? What if a Republican gets in? What if gas prices are going to go? What if a Democrat gets in? What if gas prices are going to go? What if this? Jesus is already in. So you just go on his side. He said, I'd meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can be with you 5 minutes and find out, oh, I just love him. He's so cute. He's just unbelievable. I just like him. Oh, this is the greatest church in the world. I just love this church. It's just so awesome. There's a coffee shop and the greeters and it's funny and the singer. One of their worship pastors, he's the guy that's always singing on TV, you know. Three days later, I come back. I'm like, I know you can hold it, G. Give it up for Gennaro, one of my best friends in the whole wide world. But then somebody makes you mad in the parking lot. I don't want to go back to that church anymore. You know, that coffee just doesn't seem the same. And then that guy, he just holds that note all the time. Who in the world do you think he is? It shouldn't be about Jesus. It shouldn't be about him just having fun at a church. You're not supposed to have fun at a church. I don't like that church. I'm going to go to another church. Take heed what you hear. Because the enemy will try to get you offended at something. Maybe I said a minute ago, even though, well, I don't think I, in fact, a lot of my preacher friends do it, so don't ever say anything like that, because that makes people decide. You don't want people to say, I don't like that idea. Go with some generality so everybody kind of votes for you at the end. I just can't do that. I'm not smart enough to do that. Because I am going on the word side, and the Bible said, he's the one who said, check this out. He said this. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't know the truth, you don't know how to get from here across the pond and be the first one that's ever done it. I don't know how to pastor a church like this. I didn't know how to do multi-sites. I didn't know how to go on television. I didn't know how to advertise. I didn't agree any of that. I don't know how to pray. All I knew was, God, here I am. Use me. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that you can do it through me. And he's like, finally, somebody. And boy, this is going to be good, Holy Ghost, because this is going to be real good. Because, you know, you said in your word that you'd show the foolish things to confound the wise. We got one here, man. This is going to be a big win for Jesus, because this joker ain't got much going for him. How many of y'all feel about that way? So prophesy over your business. Prophesy over your health. Prophesy over your children. That crazy kid acts just like his daddy. Stop saying that. Say, that kid acts like me. My saved me. Yeah. This dumb car is the dumbest car in the world. It's a piece of junk. I don't believe in talking to things. When you talk to the dishwasher, that thing's so loud. Stop saying what you currently have and start decreeing and declaring what you want to have, and you will attract more of that into your life through hearing the word and speaking the word. Now, I'm going to close in the next 20 minutes or so. And a lot of you guys go to this church because, you know, there's another one starting at 11:45. That's why I love it, because I know he can't go on like that last guy. You ever been in a church service and the only scripture you could think of was, let my people go. Shut it. Okay, so I'm almost there. Here's the difference between the people who make it and don't make it. It's really easy. The people who don't make it, give it up. The people who make it say, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by the word, and the word moves me, and I'm moving the mountain with the word. And I hear it all the time. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. What are you going to do? Why in the world would you do that? Why in the world? If it's God's will, it is God's bill. My God is going to supply everything I need in abundance. He said that he is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. So I know that he is going to provide everything I need. No good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. I walk by faith and not by sight. Devil, you shut up right now. I'm hearing the word. So by you coming to church, most people, here's what the latest stats are. I'm in the church business, so I know these stats. People who went to church 4 times on a month, they go 3 now. It's last year. People who went 3 times, go 2. People that went 2 times, go 1. People that went 1 time, go none. You're online. Hello. That's what the stats are. But the Bible said, Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. When the evil day approaches, do it all the more, because it keeps getting darker and more challenging. But when you come to the house and you go, I'm not just coming for revelation, I'm not just coming for information, God, I'm coming here early on time to praise you and to worship you, because if it had not been for Jesus, then you're blessing God, then God reciprocates the blessing on you, and then you apply what you learn on Sunday out on Monday, and then you'll look back a year from now and you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself, because you won't recognize yourself, because you won't think the same, you won't talk the same, you won't be God. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. Allah! Shout hallelujah. You know it's a good sermon when you got to put your foot.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. We open up.